Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on a Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Mr. Zommers, welcome in high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. It is overcast, a bit of a nip in the air. They say it's going to get snowy, wintry, snowy in spring very soon.
Well, we're back to normalcy here in Wisconsin.
Very, very true.
It was very toasty for a while there, very uncharacteristically so. But now we're back to the time where people can say, how is global warming real if it's cold outside?
Well, the truth. One of those days, it's going to be one of those days, I think, where maybe I should have called in. I've got ear things going on. I'm actually going to the doctor on Monday to look at my ears. I think they're going to find out that not only do I have engine ears, I have regular ears as well.
So. That's good. It's always good to have regular ears. You know, hearing things generally underrated.
Yeah. So my voice and everything is a little out of sorts. It's not flu or anything like that. It's nothing contagious. It's just this ongoing stuff in my head.
General sinus dysfunction. I don't know.
Yes, that's exactly right. But we shall, as they say, the show must go on, and we certainly shall. Going to be a great show later on at 1:30 this afternoon. Our good friend, our co-executive producer for this program, singer, songwriter, I call him a media mogul, Chris Pauls.
I think that's an accurate title. Yeah.
CP, Chris Pauls will be on the show, and it's going to be a cavalcade of characters and a lot of fun. So tune into that. Should be a good time had by all. Chris Pauls, hour number two. Going to take a look at some newsy headlines as well, coming up a little bit later this hour. But I want to lead off the show at 8 minutes past the hour of 12 noon with the weather. With the weather and a subject that we talked about here, what? 2-3 weeks ago, more alternate side parking in the city of Madison.
Yep. So they should have listened to us.
They should have listened. They should have listened to old Todd. So here's the deal. I'm looking at the National Weather Service forecast for the state of Wisconsin for the next 24 hours or so. And when all is said and done, there's going to be quite a swath of snow kind of between Madison, just west of Madison, going over to just north of Milwaukee. Anywhere from 3 to 8 inches of snow in that area. More snow closer in north of Milwaukee, 4 to 8 there. Maybe 3 to 7 inches in the Madison area. Out kind of north and west of Madison, southwest Wisconsin near Richland Center and Wisconsin Dells, maybe 2 to 5 inches. Green Bay area, 2 to 4. Eau Claire, 2 to 4. La Crosse, 2 to 4. Then up in Park Falls, 1 to 3. Hayward, 1 to 2 inches. And way up in Superior, a trace to maybe 2 inches. So it looks like everybody's going to get something in terms of snow over the next 24 to 36 hours here. Heaviest snowfalls, Madison over towards Milwaukee. That's going to be the biggest band of snow. I should have looked up. I did not. When we had the last measurable snowfall here in Madison. But here now from Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com. Headline, despite a lack of snow, Madison sees increase in alternate side parking violations. Now, this is something that has ground my gears. We started this petition, had a few people sign it. Was not overwhelming, I'll be honest about it. But and now here, 3 weeks later, it's making news once again. Let me get into this. We'll take your phone calls on this as well. The number of tickets issued in Madison for alternate side parking and snow emergency violations rebounded this winter after plummeting in recent years, especially in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic that saw city officials ease off most parking and traffic enforcement. Parking enforcement issued, get this, hang on to your snow bonnets, 7,385 tickets for alternate side parking violations and 952 for violations of the city's snow emergency restrictions. That comes with a $20 fine and the second cost of $60. So I'm no mathematician there, but I mean, it's a lot of money.
Now imagine if that goes to collections.
Right? Right? Exactly. Exactly. Goes on in Madison.com, Madison's alternate side and snow emergency parking rules are in effect November 15th through, wait for it, March 15th. So as it turns out, here comes the snow and there ain't no regulations on what to do with the cars. Anyway, November 15th through the 15th of March. And these regulations are aimed at making sure city crews are able to keep streets cleared of snow in parts of the country that typically get 50 inches of snow per winter. The alternate side rule requires people who park on the street outside of the central city to make sure their vehicles are parked on the odd number side of the streets from 1 to 7 a.m. on odd number days and even numbered side of the street from 1 to 7 a.m. on even-numbered days. Well, we all pretty much, I think, know that. The snow emergency rule is the same as the alternate side rule, but only applies to those parking overnight in the denser central part of the city designated the snow emergency zone, basically the Isthmus of Madison. The 2023-24 winter's combined total for both kinds of tickets is far lower than the 27,000 plus issued in the winter of 2014-2015, but far more than the approximately 1,600 issued during the winters of 2021-22 and 22-23. Now, by the way, we sent the parking enforcement people, which I'm sure are very fine people here in the city of Madison, we sent them a letter asking someone to come on this show and talk about alternate side parking. They said, well, send us a list of questions. We did, and we never heard back. Never got a reply. And look, this was not an attack. We just said, we would like to know where this came from. What's the annual revenue? You know, why can't in the city of Madison, why can't we do what we do on the Isthmus, which is wait for a snow emergency? And also, many other cities across Wisconsin do it that way.
Yeah, we just wanted to ask. These aren't hard questions. If you can't answer these questions, why is it the policy? Right. Like, we just wanted to know what their answers were. We're not going to ask the question and then attack them for it.
Right. Well,
it's just their job. Well,
we may point out discrepancies, but not attack. No, I wouldn't say
right,
that.
Right.
Anyway, city parking manager Stephanie Cox. So the number of citations issued in future winters will depend on how much snow and ice the city gets. But, quote, in general, I would anticipate alternate side parking citation numbers continuing to be lower than they were a decade ago. Madison got just less than 33 inches of snow from November 15th to March 15th, or about 14 inches below average for that time, according to the National Weather Service. Now here, this is interesting. Cox said in October that the city largely suspended enforcement of the alternate side and snow emergency rules in the first winter of the pandemic, 20 to 21, as many efforts to ease the burden on residents hit by widespread job losses. And that's fine. I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. And the article goes on here at Madison.com to talk about how they ginned this up and brought it back. Later on, the article says tickets were, quote, issued throughout the winter season and just concluded, according to Cox, but, quote, we did have increased enforcement around and during snow events, unquote. Isn't it time to end alternate side parking? Not just in Madison, but everywhere. And go to snow emergencies. Because they're giving people tickets when it's 50 degrees in Madison.
And or now, 70.
Or 70. And now we're about to get 4 to 7 inches of snow and there's no rule. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You do not have to be a resident of Madison to weigh in. because I think this is an issue that affects people across the state of Wisconsin. I used to be an alder in little old Richland Center, 5,000 people. So, I mean, it affects all kinds of communities. And look, I know we have to move snow. I know we have to keep the streets safe. But I just don't like alternate side parking. And especially don't like it when it's being enforced when there is zero chance of snow. You know, whatever, 3 months ago, a month ago, or 3 weeks ago, a month ago, when we had high temperatures, or pardon me, low temperatures overnight, we're in the mid-40s. There ain't no snow going to be coming down. I'm no meteorologist. I'm no Ed Addison. I'm no Gary Kenalty. But I'm telling you, when it's 47 degrees, we're not going to get snow. But yet the city of Madison was ticketing people for violations of alternate side parking. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Maybe this isn't a big deal for some people. And people know me, I've been, knock on wood, been a minute, several years, as a matter of fact, since I got a speeding ticket, thank goodness. But I do get the occasional parking ticket for just forgetting my meter runs out or whatever. And that's on me, right? That's on me. But these alternate side parking tickets, particularly for people in the city of Madison where rents are skyrocketing, the average price for a one-bedroom apartment in the city of Madison, $1,600. $1,600, your average price for a one-bedroom apartment in the city of Madison. And some of those, for that price, in fact, many of those, do not include off-street parking. It's an additional $100, $150 a month if you want off-street parking with that. So who do these alternate side parking regulations affect disproportionately? It affects people who are on lower incomes, who really can't afford it anyway. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842 would be interested in your thoughts. Off the text line, WAUK, a listener there at the Shaw texting in saying, a parking garage is so nice. Yes, I'll go along with that. Come back, talk more about it, your phone calls as well. It is a Thursday, March 21st, right here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for taking us along wherever you're at, across the state of Wisconsin, all over the air, or wherever you are around the world, if you're listening on the app. Speaking of the app, coming up in hour two, another edition of Ride Into Spring. Some great prizes to give away. It is a text-in contest. So just download the Civic Media app. Do so on your Apple or Android device. Open it up. Choose your favorite station and stand by, as Paul Harvey used to say. Not for news, but for prizes. In hour two, the Ride Into Spring giveaway, a text-in only on the Civic Media app. Make sure you have it ready to go. In hour two, we'll give you a keyword to text in. You can win a great number of prizes all in hour two. And also coming up in hour two, our good friend CP, Chris Pauls, media mogul, writer, singer, producer extraordinaire. Should be a good time had by all. Let's go to the phone lines talking about parking, alternate side parking, particularly in Madison, but really anywhere across the state. And I've got this bugaboo that when it was 70 degrees out, 50 degrees out, we had alternate side parking. And people who didn't move their cars when it was 50 got tickets. Now, that expired on the 15th of March. We're about to get several inches of snow. and there's no alternate side parking for many places. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Matt in Middleton. Matt, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, Todd, it's just another tax. That's all it really is. And when you have a system with an extremely unfair tax code where the wealthy and the rich continue to pay less, these municipalities need money and they just take it out on everybody else. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm. Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it. I'm pretty much where Matt's at. Because, I mean, what was it, 27,000 or was it tickets that were given out, did I say? Is that what it was in the article there?
I'll
look it up. Some accurate. Okay. So I don't want to give out misinformation. So 7,385 tickets. 7,385 tickets times 20, and some of those went up to 60. So I mean, you know, that's a lot of money. As Matt said, to these municipalities. I mean, roughly. I mean, a little over 15 grand, probably closer to 17 by the time you figure in some of those $60 tickets that the city's making. And you look at the city coffers of Madison, the budget, $16,000, $17,000, quite frankly, is pizza money. It is not very big in the budget of the city of Madison. But to someone living on a fixed income, either a student or a working person, or a retired person, and they're already paying $1,600 for rent, you give them a $20 or a $60 ticket? I mean, that has an impact on people. I just don't think it's where we ought to be. And again, I'm all for declaring snow emergencies, right? Like tonight. In Madison, we're going to get 4 to 7 inches of snow. So what do? You put out on places like this, on civic media, on radio stations, on TV stations, and you say, look, we're going to have a snow emergency. Goes into effect tonight at 7 p.m. Have to have your cars on, what is it today, the 21st? Have to have the cars on the even side of the street. Tomorrow's the 22nd. So before you go to bed, move your cars on the even side of the street. It's in effect for the next 48 hours, whatever. That's fine. I got no problem with that. Because people look out their window, oh, geez, it's snowing. I better move my car if I haven't already. People don't think about that when it's 70 degrees. Off the text line, WMDX, a salty listener says, or you could just follow the rules, unquote. Well, thanks, Captain Obvious. Look, I get it, yes. As a former alderperson, yeah, I'm all for following the rules. I'm just saying that sometimes the rules don't make sense. And I think that as government officials, you know, need to look at the rules and say, does this really make sense?
Is this really helping anybody?
Right.
Because we have to pay for enforcement and the tickets are probably not covering that.
Right, exactly.
Well, they're definitely not covering that.
The rule could be, to this listener on WMDX, the rule could be we're going to have a snow emergency. And that's a much easier and common sense rule to have rather than alternate side parking when it's 55 degrees out.
At the same time, I do get it when people say, or I could see an argument that you can't expect people to pay attention to the radio and the news all day, every day just to see. But also, it's kind of common sense. You see the weather, you see that it is cold outside, and so then you check to see if it's a snow emergency. Right. So, like, it's, I don't know.
Here, Duffy, listening in on WMDX out in Mount Horeb, Duffy says, quote, snow removal is a thankless job. Think about the city plow drivers who have to navigate giant plows down residential streets with cars on both sides of the road. Not an easy job. I think the cities are enforcing the fines so people become trained to park on the correct side during winter, unquote. I agree that it's a thankless job. Absolutely. Our snowplow drivers, city workers, I mean, they're fine folks. I agree with that.
And I do think that that's the best argument. Like I said, yeah, it's just getting people into the rhythm so they don't have to keep checking the news and everything.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. I just think a snow emergency is better. WAUK from the Shaw, texter texts in and says, have you ever asked your alder person why? Well, we started with the city of Madison. We started with the city streets department. We thought that would be the most logical place to get an answer. Like I say, they gave us a first response, but never followed up. So we tried. We gave it our best shot, as they say. Anyway, remember to move your cars tonight. Don't. We don't want people getting tickets. And here's the really terrible thing, by the way. If you get towed.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
I once had to pick somebody up downtown and park somewhere where I thought I was fine. And apparently I misread the sign. I was gone less than 15 minutes. I came back. My truck had been towed out to Sun Prairie.
Oh, that's got to be expensive, too.
$225 to get it back.
Yeah, that's rough.
And an Uber ride out there.
So at least $250.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's what's grinding my gears on a Thursday afternoon on the 21st of March, 2024. We're going to come back on the other side, talk a little bit about a subject we have not talked about a lot lately, and we really should. That is Ukraine and some other international matters. Why saving Ukraine matters. We'll take your phone calls on that and discuss it. Also talk a little bit later in the show. It's the kickoff to March Madness. Hopefully you have your brackets in. It's too late now. The tournament is underway. Give you some updates on those and talk bracketology. Of course, the Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles play tomorrow. We have a special live report for the Marquette game live on the scene. And of course, the Badgers play right here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Friday, 8:40-ish p.m., tip-off time, depending upon the first game. Going to be a late one. Should be a good one as well. Stay with us. News, weather, and sports and an ag update start now. And international news on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show for Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Talibol Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Thursday, March 21st. Glad to have you along. This is Amrits.
This is a Ukrainian folk song, the title of which I'm not going to pretend I know how to read, but okay. It translates to Long Live Free Ukraine.
Oh, very good. Very nice. Indeed. Welcome back to the show. I'm glad to have you along. Coming up in hour two, an hour from now, as a matter of fact, Chris Paul, CP, co-executive producer of this program. He is a writer. He is a singer. He is a media mogul. He'll be along for some fun and interesting facts and discussion in hour number two. Right now, as Mr. Zomers alluded to there, want to turn to a subject that we haven't talked about on this show in a while and needs to be talked about again. Great reporting, great writing today from Heather Cox Richardson, somebody we refer to quite a bit of this program. She's just so good at what she does, reporting and writing. And she wrote a piece today on why saving Ukraine matters. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, a Trump loyalist, continues to refuse to bring a vote on the National Security Supplemental Bill passed by the Senate more than a month ago, containing $60 billion in aid for Ukraine, although it is expected to pass if he does. A couple of important points right away. The Senate has already passed this bill on a bipartisan vote. $60 billion in aid for Ukraine. And by all accounts, people who keep track of votes in Washington, both the Republican Party, Democratic Party, in the press. If Mike Johnson would put this bill on the floor, in all likelihood, it would pass. But he refuses to. Once again, taking his cues from a former president, Donald Trump. Article goes on, those trying to get aid to Ukraine believe his defense is central to U.S. national security. Yesterday, the Institute for the Study of War, A nonpartisan nonprofit research group assessed that, quote, several Russian financial, economic, and military indicators suggest that Russia is preparing for a large-scale conventional conflict with NATO. Not imminently, but likely on a shorter timeline than what some Western analysts have initially posted, unquote, within a matter of years. We have said it on, and this is the end of the excerpt from Heather Cox Richards, Richardson. Again, apologize for the voice today. little cold going on, so we will push through. We have said this on this program repeatedly, and I know that Trygve Olson, who comes on this show on Wednesdays, was just on yesterday. He's not just some political hack or something like that. His wife, he said so on the show. His wife is from Eastern Europe, not Ukraine, but Eastern Europe. He spent time living in Eastern Europe. He worked in a bipartisan manner. Coalitions that involved his former boss, John McCain, and Joe Biden, when Biden was in the Senate. Spending time in Ukraine. Fighting Putin and Russia. Is actually banned from Russia by Putin himself, Trygve is. So I trust a person like that who spent time in a region, who knows players personally, who's seen it with his own eyes. And he has explained similarly what Heather Cox Richardson does in her article. And that is, those who believe that Vladimir Putin is going to stop at the Ukrainian border if he were to win simply don't know history, and they don't have a good assessment of what really is going on in the world. So how does this tie in with Wisconsin? It ties into our politics of today, of 2024. And really, who we're going to vote for. Now, I know there's a lot of people voting on the Democratic side for Joe Biden who agree with President Biden that helping our ally in Ukraine is essential, not just because of Ukraine, but because of what Heather Cox Richardson writes here, which is experts believe, both in intelligence and otherwise, that Putin is gearing up for a large-scale conventional conflict with NATO. And remember, in NATO, our alliance, a legal binding alliance, an attack on one is an attack on all. So say if Latvia or Poland were attacked, that would be seen as an attack on the United States, which means we would send men and women from our armed forces to help our allies in Europe, boots on the ground. And of course, even one loss of life is one too many. But there have been very few conflicts, conventional conflicts, boots on the ground, where you don't see loss of life. It's just a fact. It's how war happens. So a lot of people agree with, a lot of Democrats agree with Joe Biden on that. And traditionally, Republicans have also been hawks on this type of thing. Remember, it was Ronald Reagan who called the Soviet Union the evil empire, who stood at the gates in Germany and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And historically, Republicans, for the most part, have been anti, used to be Soviet Union, anti-Russia, skeptical, and realizing it's a real threat. And have supported efforts, both militarily and economic sanctions, to defeat Russia. And you would think on first glance there's a natural coalition here to make sure Ukraine wins. One, because it's the right thing to do, humanitarian-wise. Two, if you want to be simply self-serving about it, it's the best thing for the United States. If you want to be completely cold and self-serving about it, here it is. I'm not saying this, but some people could say, if you wanted to, it's better to have Russia, or pardon me, it's better to have Ukrainians dying than Americans dying. I don't believe that, but I'm just saying, if you want to be completely self-serving about it, that's the facts. And now you have a president, a former president in Trump, who is in bed with Vladimir Putin. Well, I'm not sure if those tapes exist, the P tapes, but I'm not sure if they were literally in bed together.
They probably exist.
They probably exist. But Putin is politically, metaphorically in bed with Putin, Trump and Putin. And the fact is that Donald Trump is aiding and abetting Vladimir Putin, in complete contrast to everything the old Republican Party under people like Ronald Reagan used to stand for. And so here's the link beyond just if Russia wins against Ukraine, the likelihood is you will see a kid, a spouse, a family member, a friend die on the Eastern Front, on Eastern Europe in the near future. Just a fact. And so we have to make sure that Putin is defeated. How do you do that? You create a political coalition to make sure these funds get there. Joe Biden, whether you agree with all of his policies or not, is pro-Ukraine, is pro-defeating the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, the current Russians. And so I just invite you to ask yourself, if you're someone who tends to support Trump or tends to support the MAGA Republican Party, ask yourself, is this in line with everything that you've believed and been told up to this point by the former Republican Party? Is this Reagan-esque? Is this conservative? I would invite that the answer is no, that Trump is simply out of line with Reagan's foreign policy. Trump is out of line with traditional Republican values when it comes to defeating communism and the Russians. And this is why this $60 billion in aid that was passed in a bipartisan manner in the Senate is so critical that it gets through. So ask yourself, why is it that Mike Johnson's holding it up? He's holding it up for the same reason he won't let the largest reforms in immigration go through, which have also passed the Senate in a bipartisan manner, because Mike Johnson's in the pocket of Trump, and Trump is in the pocket of Putin. And yesterday, we had the clip yesterday, according to testimony in Washington by a former Giuliani acolyte, helper, had firsthand knowledge of this, testifying under oath that our very own Wisconsin's Ron Johnson was well aware of some of these helps to Vladimir Putin as well. It's all tied together. And I get it, right? There's not a traditional hero and a traditional villain here, right? Some of this is kind of murky. The threat is our existence as a democratic republic. Our democracy is a threat, at risk. And so to get things back on track this fall, it's going to take a non-traditional coalition to do it. Things are going to have to happen that normally just don't happen in politics. Because the common enemy here is the threat to American democracy, and Trump is the person who embodies that. So while we talked about this great story in the Washington Post yesterday, an opinion piece by David Ignatius, Liz Cheney still plans to make a difference in the election. Liz Cheney doesn't mince words, the article says, about Donald Trump. She calls the former president a liar, a con man, and a potential tyrant who, if elected again, would, quote, torch the Constitution, unquote, and a guarantee and its guarantees of free speech and rule of law. Cheney landed these rhetorical roadhouse punches in a talk last week at the Connecticut Forum in Hartford. The words were all the more powerful from a deposed chair of the House Republican Conference, listening to the repeated roars of approval from the nearly 3,000 people in attendance. David Ignatius says, I couldn't help thinking that Cheney might be an underappreciated X factor in the 2024 race. Cheney said, quote, I will do everything I can to make sure Trump is never anywhere near the Oval Office again, unquote. Defeating Trump means reelecting President Biden and rejecting third-party candidates, she said forthrightly, though she disagrees with Biden on many policy issues. She said his victory in November is necessary to save the country from potential dictatorship. What Cheney could do in this campaign, above all, is animate the public's memory of what happened on January 6th. She has a new book called Oath and Honor that she's hawking right now and talks about many of the things that happened in January 6th. What's happening in Ukraine is a microcosm of the importance of this election. It takes all of us, former Republicans, current disaffected Republicans, traditional Democrats, progressive Democrats, to come together and say, look, we can disagree on 97% of policies as a group, but the one thing we have to agree on is preserving democracy so that we can have these fights into the future. And that requires the re-election of Joe Biden in November. And it requires the defeat of Trump and Trumpism and the MAGA Republican Party. Come back with more of your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the news, top of the hour. I sound like a leprechaun. The top of the news, the top of the hour.
They're always after me, Lucky Charms.
Yes. And the thing is, all I've had is coffee all day. I haven't had any medication at all, you understand? A vitamin, that's pretty much it. What's your thoughts on what's happening in Ukraine, how it ties into the election? Also, what Liz Cheney has said here over the weekend, now not just disavowing Trump, but saying that she's going to support the re-election of Joe Biden in order to bring this very odd political coalition together to defeat Trump and Trumpism. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, always a pleasure. Thanks for listening in. What say you?
Well, always a pleasure that you will take my call, and great show as usual there, sir. Thank you for discussing this topic. And I think all Americans, if they had the honest truth about what's going on, and I know people have their favorite channels, favorite news networks, and that type of thing, but they really need to really research what went on in our country, what went on with Russia, what Ron Johnson's activities were, how our Republic, I hate to say it, but there's maybe one Republican that hasn't stymied any kinds of legislation that goes through that helps our state or our country. Mm-hmm. You really need to look in the background of this. And this is so significant because it started in the small states. It started in our state with Scotty Walker. There's big money coming in, and there's people behind the curtain that are getting things done that they want to get done. You know, I am so shocked that big money would stay behind a criminal like Trump, because he wouldn't be able to do it. If people weren't accepting his behavior, and what he's doing, he wouldn't be in office. He would have been in prison by now.
Yeah.
But there's people backing this guy, and there's people backing this guy who love the chaos between all of us. And we do really, truly want the same things. If people would get the information, I've been watching live for years, and I've never, ever seen this type of behavior by people with R after their name. And then I watch the really good ones that care about principle, about republic and democracy, and, you know, fighting and working together to get things done for the people. I haven't seen the House do anything, pass any laws, except try to find things to go after our president. And he's trying to do things for the people. And, you know, I've watched Joe Biden for years. And this guy cares about America. He cares about the people. You know, he lost his son. He didn't run. And it was a horrifying thing. And he didn't run when he could have. And then he came back because he saw what we see.
Right.
And he's fighting for us. You know, I always agree with him. And I always agree, you know, that's why I've been an independent my entire life. Because, you know, the old Republicans, they were outstanding. So were the old Democrats. But this stuff now is really scary. I try to watch the hearings, and I get so sick to my stomach with porn pictures from Marjorie Taylor Greene, with these nut jobs, and bringing in people they know are liars testifying against Joe Biden. It's like, what in the world is going on here? We didn't have this before, Todd.
Yep.
Never seen this before. So I hope people really pay attention. And thank you so much for your show. Keep up the great work. Hey, bye.
Always appreciate the call, Gene. Gene in Eau Claire listening in up there on the tap, WCFW in Eau Claire. Hope to get up there in a couple of weeks or so and sit down and have a beer with folks. More details on that coming up. But Gene's absolutely right. We've never seen this before. And we got to text them. People are always welcome to text in. Always happy to read them, see them. This is Steve from Milwaukee texting in saying, quote, if you look at any modern problem in America in six steps, you can find a way to tie it to Ronald Reagan, unquote. He also went on to say ditto to Gene. All right. Very good. So Gene, you have a fan out there. We all love Gene, I think. Look, I get it. I appreciate, Steve, you listening and your viewpoint. I don't disagree. As someone who came into politics during the Reagan era as a former Republican, who I think is fair to say there was a time in my life where I nearly idolized Ronald Reagan, you know, the hindsight of growing up and learning things and trying to be a critical thinker, I look back now and certainly understand and disagree with some of Reagan's economic policies, especially for sure. He was not the perfect president. I think there are some things that still stand. I think there are still some things that he did well. But was he perfect? No, absolutely not. Were there things that he did, economic policies that we're still feeling, some racial policies perhaps? Yes, absolutely. But I think what Steve does here is raise a really critical point that we're going to keep talking about all the way through November. And it's what Liz Cheney is really saying in this Washington Post op-ed piece here by David Ignatius, that there is certainly a group of people out there, maybe my age, 50-something, that thought a lot of Reagan. And that was kind of what Republican politics was to them. And what we're trying to do is point out to those folks that what Trump is doing and Trumpism is antithetical to Ronald Reagan, completely the opposite. And so if you were a Reagan Republican and you still think of him highly, we invite you to join the coalition. Same way as you, Steve, in Milwaukee or people like that, who say, I'm not a Reagan fan at all, that's fine. That's great. But my guess is you're probably a Biden fan, or at least you're willing to vote for him again. And that's the point we're trying to make here, is that, and the point that Liz Cheney is trying to make, it's going to take all of us. Because I've seen polling numbers, both public and private, and we are headed towards one of, if not the closest presidential election in history. And ground zero is right here in the state of Wisconsin. This race is going to come down to Pennsylvania, Michigan, maybe Arizona, and Wisconsin, and most likely Wisconsin. There is modeling out there right now showing Joe Biden winning by less than 500 votes. A lot of time between then and now. But it's going to take all of us working together to defeat Trump and Trumpism. It's going to create a coalition. And that's what we're trying to do here. Bring people together as a coalition of people to save democracy for our kids and our grandkids. Back with Hour 2. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Oball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.